Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedenick.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 22nd of November, 2019, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Auxin, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, Far From the Tree Productions is a brand new independent theater company. We'll meet founders Shelley and Joel Waminga and talk about their inaugural production, Lucia Frangioni's Caribou Magi. Plus, a group of Vancouver's finest comedic, theatrical, and improvisational minds come together for a new play, a comedic look at Shakespeare's Macbeth, just in time for the holidays. And our world lost another great artist this week, and this program lost a friend. John Mann, local singer, songwriter, actor, and founding member of Spirit of the West, passed away on Wednesday from complications related to Alzheimer's. He was only 57. So all the music today will be a tribute to John. Plus, we'll keep you informed on all events this weekend, the usual call board, and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Yeah, what can you say? I'm going to talk a little bit more about John later on in the show, but I just want to get started with some music right away. I first saw John in Spirit of the West at the Railway Club about 1983, 84, something like that. They were just three guys from North Van who liked to play kind of traditional Celtic music with their own North Shore bent to it. And that nothing illustrates that better than their first big hit, The Crawl.
One afternoon on the shores of Ambleside, we were sitting there quite peacefully with the rising of the tide, when an idea it came to mind for to usher in the fall, and we all agreed next Friday night we'd go out on the crawl. And we're good old boys, we come from the North Shore, they're anchors and carousers, the likes you've never seen, and this night, by God, we drank till there was no more, from the troller to the raven, with all stops in between. Well, we planned to have a gay old time, the cash we did not spare. Oh, we left all the cars at home and paid the taxi fare. I got out to Horseshoe Bay a little after five. From a table in the corner, I heard familiar voices rise. And we're good old boys, we come from the North Shore. They're anchors and carousers, the likes you've never seen. And this night, by God, we drank till there was no more. From the troller to the raven, with all stops in between. quaint old stories we did share. Of the days when we were younger men and never had a care. On the beer flowed like a river and we drank the keg near dry. So we drained down all our glasses and were thirsty by. And we're good old boys, we come from the North Shore. Drinkers and carousers, the likes you've never seen. And this night, by God, we drank till there was no more. From the Troller to the Raven, with all stops in between. Royal Hotel, the Rusty Gull, Square Rigger and Queen's Cross. We started off with 8 good boys, but half had gotten lost. And you'll never keep the lads together when their eyes begin to rove. And there were just the 3 of us that made it to Deep Cove. And we're good old boys, we come from the North Shore. Drinkers and carousers, the likes you've never seen. And this night, by God, we drank till there was no more. From the Troller to the Raven, with all stops in between. We arrived out at the Raven just in time for the last call. The final destination of this, the first annual crawl. We dug deep into our pockets, there was no money to be found. 9 miles home, and for walking we are bound. And we're good old boys, we come from the North Shore. Drinkers and carousers, the likes you've never seen. And this night, by God, we drank till there was no more. From the Troller to the Raven, with all stops in between. And we're good old boys, we come from the North Shore. Drinkers and carousers, the likes you've never seen. And this night, by God, we drank till there was no more. From the Troller to the Raven, with all stops in between.
Well, it's mostly Jeff Kelly singing in that song, but we've got a lot more of John Mann to play throughout the next hour, so stay tuned for that. Right now, in the studio, we have 3 bright, energetic young theater artists. So, and we also have Shelby and... anyway, Shelby, wow. Tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Shelby Wyminga.
Okay. And...
I'm Zach Running Coyote. Mm-hmm.
And I'm Joelle Wyminga.
Okay, now you 3 are from the Tree Productions production of Caribou Magi by mm-hmm. Lucia Frangieta. Now, Joelle and Shelby, you are sort of the 2 that started this company. Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell us what From the Tree Productions is?
Sweet. Wow. It feels like a really long story. We yeah. started Far From the Tree Productions as a way to collaborate together. We're sisters, so we've mm-hmm. grown up always... playing together. We didn't yeah. realize until we both went to study theater that what we'd been doing was creating theater the whole time. We'd put on little plays in our parents' living room, and we always loved it. So then when we both graduated with our acting degrees, we started kind of talking about the sort of work that we wanted to do and realized there was a lot of parallel there. So we formed this company. We always knew that we wanted to do this particular show, but we have a whole bunch of other things that we've discussed that we want to work on together. And mm-hmm. we realized that a lot of the shows that we are passionate about have this common thread of family in it, whether it's family that we choose or family that we just end up with or family that we're born into. And considering that we're sisters, we thought that was really fitting. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Well, and Joelle, that's sort of the basis of a lot of theater, too. I mean, it's all about relationships and, yeah. And family and that kind of thing. One of the things I liked about the mandate, not just the idea of exploring human relationships and family bonds and stuff, but you were actually had a specific choice to produce theater that's environmentally sustainable and minimalist. So mm-hmm. maybe talk a little bit about that. As Zach snaps his fingers.
Yeah, so Shelby and I are both very passionate in environmental sustainability.
Yeah.
And something we've kind of noticed in a lot of the theater that we have seen is that it becomes very easy to create sets and have costumes and all of these things that are built from new materials, mm-hmm. are bought and that sort of thing. And then a lot of the time after the run of the show, they just sort of get... put in storage or thrown away or whatnot, and there can be a lot of waste that is created through that.
Mm-hmm.
So something that we're very passionate about is just being able to create that theater that doesn't use that much waste. So all of our set pieces and our costume pieces are all things that have been rented or found in thrift stores, have been borrowed from people.
And created from materials that already exist.
Exactly, yeah. And our kind of idea with that minimalist idea of theater is that we both believe that if you can't captivate an audience with just an actor on a bare stage and a story, then it's going to be difficult to captivate an audience with a lot of set pieces as well. So we want to focus on that story and the acting that is there.
Yeah. And there's a parallel movement in the film industry as well. It's just, you know, emerging phase part of that, but it's happening. I was involved with a company a few months ago that went out deliberately to produce a film that produced zero waste.
Hmm.
And I don't know how successful they were at, but they certainly made the effort at it. And that seems to be something that's becoming more and more conscious in the arts in general.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about the play itself, Caribou Magi. Zach, you haven't had a chance to speak yet. Why don't you tell us about the play?
Yeah. In short, it doesn't exist. but it isn't. It isn't very long, so you can just come see it. But it's a story about, my own story. I play a miner named Joe Mackey, who's a translator in the gold mines in Barkerville in the 1870s gold rush. And he has traveled down to San Diego to ask a girl to marry him. And a lot of stuff ensues. And for unlikely compatriots end up trekking from San Diego to Barkerville in the middle of winter to perform at Christmas time. And along the way, they rehearse Hamlet, The Last of the Mohicans, and A Christmas Carol. And
that's quite a mashup.
Yeah. It sure is.
It is.
And it gets twistier, but I won't reveal that. That you have to come to the show for.
Yeah. That's a part of history that I'm particularly fascinated in, because it's a time when there was sort of a kind of a leapfrog up the coast and across the continent as well, you know, gold rush to gold rush,
mm-hmm.
from California to BC to the Yukon and then in various parts, and just sort of, basically a group of people showing up at a place, ripping it apart for its resources, and then moving on to somewhere else, and just sort of not caring about the devastation they leave behind. And that's the root of our society and the culture today.
Yeah.
So it's quite fascinating to explore that part of the world.
I think it's interesting from my perspective too, in the role of Joe. He's an overlander, so he's come from Ontario. So we've kind of come from these two, Ontario is probably the same distance east as San Diego is down, maybe further.
Maybe further.
We've both, all the people have come from these two opposite corners. Yeah. But Joe, as a translator, he speaks seven languages. He's an orphan who doesn't know what his heritage is.
Yeah.
But I, of course, I'm an Indigenous artist in the role. And for him, as a person who speaks all these languages, in this place, where, as you say, you talk about them coming in and just ripping up the land, and that's that. And but Joe, as a translator, I think he has a purpose to unite all the people in their common goal, even though that goal is to each individual self-serving.
Yeah.
There's something collective necessary in order for each person to attain their goal. And so Joe lives in a place of, he lives in this world between all the worlds that I think is really fascinating. And for this little collective of four people that travel up to do theater in the north, they all can speak the same language, but he has the survival skills and that knowledge that has to unite these four. And so it's an interesting kind of microcosm.
Yeah.
It's also really cool because at Barkerville at this time was very... it feels weird to say multicultural, but there was a lot of different people groups represented in that area at the time, and obviously compared to today's standards, equality was not a thing. But it was actually quite a welcoming environment comparatively to a lot of places in the world for people of color of different backgrounds to exist there. And it's been really cool because Joelle and I grew up quite near Barkerville, so we spent a lot of time there during the summers. And so now to get to go back and explore that and explore the history through this, like, very silly, fun play has been a total treat.
Mm-hmm. Well, why did you choose this particular play to be your to launch your company?
Joelle, you take that one.
So this play has it's really inspired me for the last few years that I've known about it. It was first given to me by one of my professors, Michelle Liefertz, who I actually worked with in Barkerville. So I worked in Barkerville for 3 summers as a historical interpreter. And she gave this play to me because she really wanted to do a stage reading of it. That ended up not happening in Barkerville, but I read through the play and absolutely fell in love with it. And when I was in university, I ended up directing one of the scenes for a directing class that I did. And it just has continually been one of those shows that I've always wanted to do. And so then when Shelby and I started our company, it just seemed so right that it was our first one. It seemed right that it was about a place that we grew up. It was about a place that I worked in for 3 years and knew a lot of the history and knew the land that it is based around. And then we went in talks with Lucia Frangioni, the playwright, about getting the rights to it and everything. She's been amazing and so supportive of us in this production. Everything just sort of fell into place, and it just sort of worked out really perfectly for us. And then finding our cast really fell into place as well, which was amazing. It seemed like a fitting story for us to start with, where these 4 characters need to find themselves together. They sort of find a family.
Sort of create a family.
Yeah, very much.
One quote from someone, I can't remember who it is right now, but they said that family are the people that treat you like family. You know, it's not about blood or relation or you know, who you were born to or anything like that. It's who you come together with.
Mm-hmm. And in the case of these characters, they really have to depend on each other for survival in these really harsh conditions. And so you see them finding themselves and finding a lot of their identity and finding a family together through that. But it's through the fight for their physical survival that a lot of their sort of their heart needs end up getting met as well, which is really, really beautiful.
Tell me a little bit about working with Lucia Frangioni. It's not often that a director gets to collaborate with the playwright.
Yeah, so she, like most of our collaboration, and that is I've been able to communicate with her and ask her questions about the play and the script and some of her intentions behind things. And it's been really amazing. It's a very interesting experience to get to collaborate with her and even just, you know, have her tell us about her excitement about the production. I mean, she's coming to see it, which is both terrifying and amazing to have the playwright come to see your show. And just have her support, and that has been really, really awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, before we wrap it up, I want to talk a little bit more with Zach about where you're from and, you know, what your background is in that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, Lucia is the reason I came to this production.
Yeah.
I've done the show before. I did it in Alberta at Rosebud Theatre. I live in Alberta. I live in Calgary. So this will be the second time Lucia has seen me in the role.
Cool.
So hopefully I've improved. But she sent me the link to the audition notice for this, and then I auditioned like any other actor.
Yeah.
But I did 4 years of theater training at Rosebud School of the Arts in the 80-person hamlet of Rosebud, Alberta, whose population triples on one of our 300 or something show days a year. I just finished school in October, and I work in Calgary primarily.
Yeah. Is this your first time in Vancouver?
Working.
Yeah.
Yeah. My partner's from out here, so I've spent time out here, but I've never worked out here. Yeah. It's fun.
Great. And Shelby, we have spoken before. Last June, you were part of the Henry V production at Pacific Theater with Stone's Throw.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've graduated from Stone's Throw and have taken on a life of your own. Tell me a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, it's I'd never really thought of myself too much as a theater producer before I did the apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
And doing the work with Stone's Throw really helped me to kind of wet my feet there.
Yeah.
And
which, by the way, just to fill it in, Stone's Throw is the apprenticeship program at Pacific Theater.
Yeah. So Stone's Throw is the company banner that we kind of put out mm-hmm. our work. And doing Henry was a really cool and empowering experience and helped me to learn a lot of skills in that. And that's one of the reasons that we felt confident enough to strike out on our own and produce our own work and figure things out, because it wasn't my first time. I was able to do that with the mentorship of the company. It was an amazing experience. The show went really well. It was well received by the people who were able to come and see it. But it's exciting to now do this entirely independently and be kind of really on our own figuring things out. And I think producing is so much, it's trial and error. You figure out which things work really well and which things maybe don't work so well, and you figure that out for next time. And it's been cool having
and
my sister to collaborate with this.
It's an ongoing experience, too.
Yeah.
Well, this worked last time we did it.
Yeah,
why
totally.
Is it working now?
Yeah, what works really well for an 11-person cast doing Shakespeare, it's not going to work quite the same way doing like a Gold Rush farce Christmas show with four people. But.
All right. Well, you're playing at the Havana in a couple of weeks, December 4th to 14th. So, and folks can get tickets at by going to the Havana Vancouver website.
Mm-hmm.
And any other places where you're available on social or other websites or stuff?
Yeah, on Facebook, we're Far From the Tree Productions. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, it's at Far From the Tree Productions. We also have a website, which is www.farfromthetreeproductions.com.
Great.
So you can find us there.
Yeah, and we'll link to all that on our Facebook page, too. Okay. Well, thank you all three for coming in. And have a great
first
run and ongoing success.
Yay, thank you.
All right. We're going to play some more music from John Mann. This is from his a solo record that he put out about 8 years ago, something like that. It's a sweet little ditty called Acoustic Kitty.
Gremlin, you
the late, great John Mann, a song called Acoustic Kitty. Sitting with me now is Brent Hirose. I did it. I got it right. And you're playing the title role in the tragic comedy of Macbeth.
Indeed I am.
Yes, you are. And now, we don't usually think of Shakespeare's Macbeth as being a comedy.
Absolutely not. No.
So what's the deal?
So this is a project that myself and David C. Jones headed up, and the original idea was to try to take something that was, you know, well known theatrically and try to find the ways to have fun with it, especially using improv, mm-hmm. since both David and myself have extensive improv backgrounds.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that was the original idea based on a series of plays that David has been involved with. Twisted Christmas Carol is one that some people may have heard of,
mm-hmm.
And to take that same approach to something maybe a little bit darker, a little bit more interesting. So we're kind of counter-programming Christmas.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's sort of, you couldn't think of a more extreme example of taking something that you don't think of as comedy and pulling the comedy out of it.
Well, and I think today, in today's day and age, especially when, you know, Christmas preparations are getting started so much earlier,
yes.
You know, this is a taste of something a little bit different. So, mm-hmm. and I think because of that, it has a little bit of something for everybody. So if you are a Shakespeare fan, if you are a fan of the Scottish play, then you'll be able to really appreciate how we're playing with it. Or if you just want to have a fun comedy with a lot of interesting comedic and improv bits, then this is for you as well.
Yeah. Now you're actually taking it from the actual text.
Yes.
This is not just making up as you go along.
So we've got kind of a fun meta narrative going throughout the play. So it's based on Shakespeare's tragedy Macbeth, and we call it the tragic comedy of Macbeth, because our idea is that the spirit of Macbeth, the real Macbeth, has sort of lived through this play done over and over and over again. And Shakespeare, when he was writing Macbeth, this was something that he wrote 600 years after the death of the actual King Macbeth,
mm-hmm.
and took many, many liberties in that writing. So, you know, there's a lot of indignity in having your actual life story transformed over and over and over again by this play.
And it was basically written as kind of like a propaganda piece to suck up to the new king.
Absolutely. Well, Shakespeare wrote many of his plays for the royalty. They were his patrons.
Yeah.
So this was one for King James, and talking a lot about sort of his bloodline and how that was destined, and adding a lot of stuff that the king was really into, and that's why we have the witches, mm-hmm. and all those supernatural elements there. And so we were having a lot of fun playing with those elements and letting the audience be a part of helping Macbeth have one play, one performance where he manages to make it through without dying. And so that is what the audience is trying to help Macbeth with, and we find a lot of fun complications along the way.
So that's sort of the improv element. You bring audience participation and suggestions.
Yeah, audience participation, suggestions.
Yeah.
It escalates a lot. So I don't want to ruin too many of the surprises, but...
No.
Yeah,
we're not here to ruin surprises. It's just to give people a little taste of what they can expect. So,
yeah.
Now, you've got some pretty heavy hitters guiding you along.
Mm-hmm,
you've got
the
great Bernard Coughlin working with the text, and you've got Gary Jones doing the improv work. How's it been working with those guys?
It's been really great. One thing that's really awesome about both our creative team and our cast, you know, we've got improvisers from sort of multiple generations coming together, bringing their experience in, and people from different schools. So myself, I come from Winnipeg, and then have been working as the co-artistic director of Vancouver's Instant Theatre until last year. And then we have a bunch of people, Ali Froggett, who comes from the Loose Moose Theater in Calgary, David C. Jones, who's very early Vancouver Theater Sports, along with Gary Jones. So, like, all of these people together are really bringing a lot of different experiences, and a lot of that has really helped shape the play. So David and I sort of wrote the script, and then everyone together has been contributing to sort of find the ways to make it fun and interesting, and to make sure that for people who are afraid of Shakespeare's language, that is really accessible accessible. We want to make this story accessible to more people. So if you come see our show, it's definitely not the way, you know, Bart on the Beach is going to do Macbeth, but you will still understand the story of Macbeth.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably be able to even appreciate that more after having us seen, having seen us sort of play with it and really bring it to the audience to see, you know, what is Macbeth actually trying to do? And, then, of course, we get to have all sorts of fun turning that up on its head.
Well, yeah. And you made a great point there. It's a great kind of entry, as you said, for people that might be a little afraid, mm-hmm. a little cautious. I don't know if I'm going to get it, if I'm going to follow it. It's, you know, doing it in this way keeps the audience involved. And then you know, wait, I do understand what's happening.
Well, and that's something
this does make sense.
Yeah. We're really, the reason why we're doing the improv in it, you know, is not just because we're improvisers and we want to show off, but it's because we feel that it can be a really interesting tool to have the audience have a window into the story. So not only are they sort of participating through their suggestions and through other stuff I'll ask of them, but they're being able to really interface with the story. And that's one of the elements that in rehearsing, you know, it's always weird. How do you rehearse improv?
Yeah.
You know, we have the framework that we're building off of, and it's going to be really interesting for us as the improvisers to start playing with real audience members, getting their real suggestions, talking to them, and, you know, seeing how that changes the play.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're really strong in the framework,
yeah.
and then it's going to be fun to see what other people bring into it.
Okay, what do we do with that?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, great. So you play at the Jericho Arts Center, and that's coming up soon. That's
coming up, a couple
of weeks away.
December 5th is our opening.
Yeah.
We have a preview on December 4th, and we mm-hmm. play December 5th. To 15th, Wednesday to Sunday at the Jericho Arts Center. And if you check out Ticketwire, you can find the tickets there. They're $25 in advance or $15 for students and seniors. So jump on that,
yeah.
please.
And we actually have a couple of tickets to give away.
That's awesome.
And so what we're going to do is we're going to do it by email. So rather than taking calls, we're just going to our email address here is daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. And the first response we get, we will reply with tickets for two to go see the tragic comedy of Macbeth at the Jericho Arts Center.
And I know just what you're going to say. You'll say, is this an email that I see before me with the header towards my hand?
Out damn spot.
Exactly.
Well, Brett, thanks a lot for coming in and
talking
about it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And looking forward to it. And, you know, have a great run.
All right. Thank you very much.
Great. All right. Let's hear some more music from John Mann. Now, apart from being, you know, the lead singer, let's say one of the lead singers of Spirit of the West, one of the founders. John was also an accomplished actor, and you probably saw him in Arts Club productions of Cabaret. He did Les Miserables. He did Blood Brothers, and he also did some work at the Playhouse, including The River, which was a tribute to Joni Mitchell. And in, 2012, when the Arts Club abruptly announced their closing, there was a protest rally outside the Playhouse. When the Playhouse closed, there was a protest rally outside the Playhouse Theater. And John, in his way, stood up on a car and pulled out his guitar and started singing this song.
Away, yeah, I saw the news. Happens every day. Some cronkite look alike, numb from what he's reading. Wake me up, wake me up. It's one of us that's screaming. Save this house, save this house, save this house, save this
When the forces of white heteropatriarchal capitalism try to get you down, 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 down. Down. Bechdel Test Burlesque is here to lift you up with a jam-packed, star-studded evening of pop culture critique powered by Thrill Joy Feminism. After 6 years of sold-out shows from Seattle to the University of Oregon, Bechdel Test Burlesque is coming to Vancouver with an international intersectional coalition of nerdy feminists to prove that rebellions are built on hope. One night only at the Rio Theater on November 30th. This show is not to miss. Check out riotheatertickets.com for more information and to buy tickets. We can go crazy in the pop. The Morning After Show is celebrating its 20th anniversary on Friday, November 22nd at the Rickshaw Theater. Jenny and the Mexicats will be lighting up the stage along with special guest Maria Blues from LA. And also our local favorites, Roomba 7 and Kawama. The show starts at 8 p.m. on November 22nd. You can get your tickets now for $20 at Red Cat or High Life, or buy it online at Eventbrite. Come celebrate 20 years of eclectic sounds and live music on The Morning After Show.
By the way, this is somebody's favorite show! Hi, Dan Shakespeare here. You know, for most of the stuff that I play, you probably think that I'm much older, but you know what? Most of you are probably way off, because I'm only 23 years old. Tune in to The Shakespeare Show between noon and 1 p.m. on Wednesdays. It's songs from before the 1920s to alternative stuff today, plus jokes and riddles, all sorts of fun stuff. Just put any of it on your iTunes if you need to. Pretty soon it'll be coming out on albums.
Tune in every Thursday from 11 p.m. till midnight for Copy and Paste with your host Tim, aka Autonomy, the very best in underground dance music.
CITR 101.9 FM. Just stalling for time while I see what I'm going to talk about. Oh, yes, here we go. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about Tony and Tina's wedding at the Columbia Theater in New Westminster. And if you were listening last week, you'd know that they had a freaking blackout on their opening night. And about 20 minutes into the reception, the lights went out and they basically had to give people their food and send them on their way. So they've been offered a reprieve. They're doing a redeemer show on November 29th, which is 1 week from tonight at 6 o'clock, again at the Columbia Theater in New West. So if you had tickets for the October 11th show, you probably got an email explaining all this to you. If you didn't have tickets for that night, you can still buy tickets. There's some remaining tickets that are available. You can contact, let's see. Now I've lost it again. Contact the Columbia Theater to find out more information about that in New Westminster. Tony and Tina's wedding next Friday night at 6 o'clock. This coming Sunday, it's comedy night at Yuck Yucks. Well, Yuck Yucks is a comedy club, so it's always comedy night. But it's Classic Chicks, Chicks at the Mic, number 6. This is Classic Chic Productions, Vancouver's all-female classic theater company, is doing a night of comedy to raise some money for their events. And some great local and international female comics are going to be performing, including Christina Wells Campbell, Linda Ann Farugia, and Christine Hackman, Sue Jung, Daniela Schlicklover, and Nina Wilder. So that's all happening at Yuck Yucks on Sunday night at 8 o'clock. It's only $20, and all the proceeds go to help Classic Chic Productions bring up their next great production. And then this week, we've also got more comedy. This is at the Havana Theater on Commercial Drive. It's 24 hours of stand-up next weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 29th and 30th. Vancouver's legendary sweetheart comedian Graham Clark will do the impossible Him and his team will complete the Mount Everest of Endurance 24 hours of stand-up starting at 8 o'clock Friday night. He will launch a 24-hour set with only a few bathroom breaks. And this will be after the first hour. The comedian will then look for inspiration from his talented team of friends who will be sitting in the front row, feverishly writing jokes for him to riff, read, and rate. So if you want to have a little bit of fun over a 24-hour period, in fact, it's probably going to be a lot of fun. He's a three-time Canadian Comedy Award winner. He's been part of the Maximum Fun's Stop Podcasting Yourself, which just passed its 600th episode. He's appeared on The Debaters, Just for Laughs, and HBO's Funny as Hell. It's Graham Clark's 24 Hours of Stand-Up. Album proceeds go to the Stephen Lewis Foundation, that is happening at the Havana next Friday, starting at 8 o'clock. Don't want to miss it. And tonight is opening night for the East Van Panto. Yes, the holiday season is upon us, and this year it's Pinocchio, starring a friend of the show, Pippa Mackey, as Pinocchio, and that's going on at the York Theater from now until right through the Christmas season, so you don't want to miss that. All the usual pals from East Van Pantos of the past are there, including music by Veda Hilly. So you don't want to miss that. Check out the couch, or you can give them a call at their box office at 251-1363, and that, of course, is a 604 number. Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It is our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. Monday night, writer-in-residence Ken Hegan is hosting the library's first live script reading, and that is in conjunction with the Cold Reading Series. It'll be run just like your regular Cold Reading Series. If you're an actor, you show up at 5:30 to sign in. Casting begins as soon as possible. The show starts at 7, goes till 8:30. There are, I think, three scripts that are going to be read that night, this is a free event. It's limited to 120 seats, so it's first come, first serve. And it's happening at Level 8 at the Vancouver Public Library downtown on Hamilton Street, Hamilton in Georgia. It's the Montalbano Family Theater. And as I said, casting starts at 5:30, and the show itself starts at 7. After the show, everyone's going to head down to the Library Square Public House Pub for a post-reading reception. So it sounds like a fun night. That's this coming Monday at the library. Vagabond Players are searching for an actor to play the part of George, the groundskeeper, in a production of Drinking Habits 2, Caught in the Act. That show is happening in February. Everything else has been cast. They're just looking for someone to play George. If you're interested, you can email Isabel. Her email is i_Mendenhall, MENDENHALL, at hotmail.com, or you can just go to their website, vagabondplayers.ca. We talked about Stone's Throw, which is the apprenticeship program at Pacific Theater, and they've got a show coming up. It's called Third and Oak, The Laundromat by Marcia Norman. That'll be happening in February. They're doing their casting this weekend. Auditions are tomorrow and Monday at Pacific Theater, which is at 12th and Hemlock. And they're looking for someone to play the role of Dee Dee. The other major part of Alberta has already been filled. And if you didn't know, Stone's Throw is a subsidiary of Pacific Theater run by apprentices. It's not a paid position, but all artists involved become associate artists to Pacific Theater and get season ticket discounts and stuff like that. So if you want to find out more, you can go to their website, which is pacifictheater.org, and look for Stone's Throw, Third and Oak. Naked Stage Productions is doing Will You Remember Me by Francois Archambault. This is a staged reading, which will be happening at the Newton Cultural Center in February. The auditions are on Sunday, November 24th at the Newton Cultural Center on 72nd Avenue. They need five actors, two males. One is 65 plus, one is 40 plus, and three females, one 55 plus, one 35 plus, and one in her late teens. If you want to find out more about that, you can contact the director, Heather Jane Robertson, and that's heatherjanerob@gmail.com. United Players doing A Flea in Her Ear. This is a new version of George Fideau's farce by David Ives. The show is happening in March. The auditions are tomorrow. And if you can't make it tomorrow, you can also arrange other dates by request. And what they're looking for is a fast-thinking, innovative actor with a passion for razor-sharp comedic talent, stylized acting, and split-second timing, ready to bring your skills to the creation of a comedy classic that is blindingly fast, exquisitely elegant, shamelessly saucy, and completely bonkers. You can audition at, you can sign up for the audition at unitedplayers.com/pages/auditions, or you can email your request to lindabeg52@gmail.com. First Impressions Theater are doing Funny Girl, the story of Fanny Bryce, the show that made Barbara Streisand a star. And that's happening at the Deep Cove Theater in February. Auditions are on Sunday at Carousel Theater on Granville Island. And they are specifically looking to cast the lead of the male lead of Nikki Arnstein, which is a male between 30 and 50, and also a supporting role of Eddie, who is 18 plus, and some ensemble pieces, cast members as well. So you can find out more about that by emailing theatercat@telus.net, and you can book an audition time for that. Stage 43 in Coquitlam is doing The Elephant Man by Bernard Pomerantz. That's directed by friend of the show Dale Kelly. Auditions are on the 24th and 25th, which is Sunday and Monday, at the Pine Tree Community Center in Coquitlam. And that's a production that's happening in April. And this will also be Stage 43's entry into Theater BC, so be prepared to do some other shows in May and hopefully in July if you win the zone. Mid-20s Theater is doing Light Rapid Transit. This is a world premiere of an original play by a local Vancouver playwright. They'll have a 13-show run in March at the Couch. The auditions are next weekend, Friday and Saturday, the 29th and 30th. And there's about, eight to ten actors are required for that one, of varying ages, genders, and abilities. You can go to vancouveractors.com and look up Light Rapid Transit to find out more details on that one. At Metro Theatre in Marpole, they're doing The Gazebo by Alec Koppel. That's happening in February. The auditions are in early December, the 2nd and 4th. There's about a dozen characters needed for that one. Open to all ethnicities. MetroTheatre.com/auditions. We'll give you the details on that. North Van Community Players are doing Trying by Joanna McClellan Glass. That's happening in April. Auditions are also in early December, December 3rd and 4th. And there are two roles, one for an 81-year-old, a former Attorney General of the United States, a character named Judge Biddle, a once brilliant man. And the other character is Sarah, his 25-year-old assistant. And these things, this will also be a Theatre BC entry happening in May at Presentation House. So if you want to find out more about that, you can go to North Van Community Players, or you can email KarenCresswell14@gmail.com. And we got time for one more. This is Rice and Beans Theater, also friends of the show. They are doing a new musical, an agricultural operetta. Written and directed by Pedro Camale, and music by Michelle Cutler. This is an original piece called Made in Canada, an agricultural operetta. It's an exploration through text and song of just who it is that works the farms that supply our food. This is going to be happening at Performance Works on Granville Island in April. The auditions are in December 8th, 9th, and 10th. And you can send your information to auditions at riceandbeanstheater.com. It's an ensemble piece, looking for actors in their 20s to 40s who are able to speak Spanish. They also want you to have some movement, singing, or musical training, and they are specially looking for submissions from Latinx and BIPOC self-identified artists. Clowning, movement, and singing or music experience is also an asset. So go to riceandbeanstheater.com to find out more about that. If you want details on these or other audition notices, you can go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at bpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you'd like read on the air, you can share it at the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. We're not going to play our usual closing theme because, as I said before, we're paying tribute to our great friend John Mann, who passed away this week. And what better tribute than this particular song? Stick around. Audrey's up next with Too Dreamy. Beppe Crespin is on at 2 o'clock. And our very own star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, Nardwuar the Human Serviette, is here at 3:30. And just checking, we haven't had a response yet on the ticket giveaway for the comic tragedy of Macbeth. So the tragic comedy of Macbeth. So if you're still interested in going to see that show, just send us an email right now, DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. And we'll be back next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
You have to excuse me, I am not at my best. I've been gone for a month. I've been drunk since I left. These so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink. I need home for a rest. We arrived in December and London was cold. We stayed in the bars along Charing Cross Road. We never saw nothing but brass taps and oak. Kept the shine on the bar with the sleeves of our coats. You'll have to excuse me, I'm not at my best. I've been gone for a week, I've been drunk since I left. And these so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink, I need home. Will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink. I need home for a rest. Take me home. By the light of the moon, she drifts through the streets. A rare old perfume, so seductive and sweet. And flood as the pubs all close down, then walk us on home and deny us around. You'll have to excuse me, I'm not at my best. I've been gone for a month, I've been drunk since I left. And these so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink, I need home for a rest. Take me home. The gas heat is empty. Excuse me, I'm not at my best. I've been gone for a month. I've been drunk since I left. And these so-called vacations will soon be my death. I'm so sick from the drink. I need home for a rest.
We got a winner. Tickets have been given away. Thanks for listening.
Keen on learning bike mechanics, jazzing up or fixing your bike, even buying your first bike? Look no further than the Bike Kitchen, located in room 36 of the UBC Life Building. The Bike Kitchen is UBC's community bike shop, offering tune-ups, mechanic classes, and a vast selection of used bikes, as well as an all-around good vibe. Come by and experience it for yourself, on Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., or on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Learn more at thebikekitchen.ca.